At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's good to have you joining us. Today, we're going to talk about court packing. It was a hot topic during the 2020 presidential race, and it's a topic that's being pushed by those on the far left today. Joining us on the program is special guest, Judge Paul Summers. He is a retired senior judge, former Attorney General of Tennessee, and also the co-chair of a group called the Coalition to Preserve the Independence of the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Summers, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm honored to be with you today, Richard.
So I want to start out with the Constitution, since we're dealing with the constitutional question in this idea of expanding the number of Supreme Court justices, which currently it's nine. It's been that way for well over 100 years. I believe since 1869, there have been nine Supreme Court justices. And the Constitution does not speak to the number of justices. So why should the number be kept at the number nine?
This is particularly true nowadays because on July the 4th, we will celebrate 245 years of independence. In 1789, the Constitution of America, of the United States, was ratified by, at that time, three quarters of the states. And we have had our Constitution through trials and tribulations, through civil wars, through world wars, and it has withstood the test of time. Part of the Constitution, which all of which was written by our founding fathers, we basically are so fortunate that we had not only smart founding fathers, but also clairvoyant founding fathers. They created three branches, three independent branches of government: the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. They made two of those branches completely political. Nowadays, you have to run for election for Congress. You have to run for election every 6 years for the Senate. You have to run for election as president. Mm-hmm. And those offices basically are controlled and really regulated, if you will, by policies, politics, and programs. Mm-hmm. Not so with the judicial branch. The judicial branch was supposed to be and is non-political. And our founding fathers wanted it to be such. Once you go through the confirmation process, then judges, particularly the Supreme Court judges, are completely independent. We realized, several of us former attorneys general, all of whom have represented our individual states before the United States Supreme Court and every other federal court in our district, we realized back early on, say 2019, we realized that the Constitution is silent as to the number of justices on the Supreme Court. In 1789, when the Constitution first started, it started, I believe, with six. It's gone up to as high as 10. And then in 1869, Richard, the Congress reduced it to nine. It has been nine for 152 years. You can change the number on the Supreme Court by passing a law. And passing a law requires a majority in the House, a majority in the Senate, and the president signing the bill. But what we fear is that if you start increasing the number of justices on the Supreme Court, particularly so that you can fill them with persons or judges of the same political ideology, then you wind up with politicians in black robes. And we no longer have an independent judiciary that basically operates under the rule of law, that is completely independent from the other two branches, and most importantly, acts as a checks and balances on abuse of power by the other two branches. Now, increasing or decreasing the number of Supreme Court justices and filling them with people of the same political ideology, that's called court packing. Mm-hmm. FDR was the last president to try to attempt back in 1937 to pack the court. He failed miserably. He emboldened his opponents and he weakened his allies, but he failed. It's not been tried since. There has been talk about it, but we want to put an end to it. We want to create a firewall against court packing. Now, why is 9 a good number? We've got a rule in Tennessee, and I bet you got the same rule in Kentucky. And that is, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Mm-hmm. And it's worked well for 152 years. And if they want to increase the number of court of appeals judges or district court judges, they can certainly do that by a congressional act. But please don't change the composition of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Sure. Paul, you had mentioned Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In 1937, he tried to increase the number of justices from 9 to 15, and that was in order to get his agenda through. He had a very aggressive agenda, creating various federal agencies, really a major federal overhaul of major federal policies. When that stopped with the Supreme Court, he tried to pack the court. He tried to expand the number of justices so that he could appoint justices to his liking, those that he thought would approve his agenda. And that was defeated in a bipartisan measure. His own party did not like that. There were Republicans, of course, opposed. There were Democrats opposed to it. And I'm wondering, which brings us up to this effort, because the left, again, is pushing President Joe Biden to expand the court. Is there bipartisan opposition to packing the court? Are you finding that there are Democrats who are in favor of what you're proposing?
There are a few Democrats who support the Keep 9 constitutional amendment. There are more Democrats who say and allege that they are against court packing. But that's only half of the question. There are two questions for any candidate for Congress or the United States Senate in 2022. Number one question, are you for or against court packing? Most of them, I'm sure, are going to say, oh, I'm against court packing, just like President Biden said he was against court packing back when he was in the United States Senate. But there's a second question. Then if you're against court packing, then you must be for the Keep 9 constitutional amendment. If the answer is equivocal, or obviously if the answer is no, I'm not for that, or if it hedges a bit, then you can bet your bottom dollar that person is not necessarily completely against court packing. We want to create a firewall against court packing, whether it's a Democrat court packing or whether it's Republican court packing. And also, Richard, please note, and I told you off air, this is a completely nonpartisan issue. It is a nonpartisan issue. As a matter of fact, those former attorneys general, my colleagues, who met in 2019, there were 15 original former AGs who met. All of them represented their states. All of them had been before the United States Supreme Court. Of those 15, 8 were Democrats and 7 were Republicans. And they all agreed the Keep 9 Amendment is the right way to go to create a firewall.
Now, the Keep 9 coalition is for the I should say the Coalition to Preserve the Independence of the Supreme Court, if which you are co-chair of. You're proposing the constitutional amendment that simply says this: the Supreme Court of the United States shall be comprised of 9 justices. It's pretty cut and dry, very simple. Might be the shortest constitutional amendment proposal in history. I believe that is the case. There's only 27 amendments to the Constitution. 33 amendments in the past have been put forward, but only 27 have passed. And you indicated earlier that the reason for this, and I think those are some really good reasons, you don't want the judiciary to become politicized. It undermines the independence of the courts and also the rule of law, and it would detangle the political parties, whoever gets into the presidency, from expanding or retracting the number. We could see this go back and forth if you have a Republican president who appoints people and then a Democratic president who gets into the presidency after that. You'd see it go back and forth, and it would depoliticize or maintain the independence, if you will, as your organization is called. Is this message, is this idea resonating with the American people, Paul, the idea that we don't want a politicized court?
This is the most popular constitutional amendment regarding Supreme Court reform in the nation. Right now, slightly under 200 members of Congress who either support or sponsor the Keep 9 Amendment. We have over 800 state legislators who do the same thing. We have over 1,000 elected officials in the states or federal government who support the Keep 9 Amendment. Let me also tell you a practical issue regarding non-court packing and also the Keep 9 Amendment. What we want to prevent is, let's say the Republicans are in charge of both the House and the Senate and the President, and then they pass a bill, and then the President signs it, increasing the number of Supreme Court justices by 3. Well, who are they going to appoint to fill those vacancies that are newly created? Probably somebody of the same political ideology. Well, they're not going to stay in power forever. I'd say in the next 6 to 8 to 10 years, the Democrats are going to be there. Now, what are they going to do if we don't have a firewall? Then they're going to do the same thing. The next thing you know, that we'll be like a banana republic. And what we don't want to happen is, we don't want for some child on Thanksgiving dinner ask his or her granddaddy, why do we have 55 members on the United States Supreme Court? We don't want politicians in black robes. We want them calling the balls and the strikes. We want to protect the rule of law, the independence of the third branch of government, and most importantly, promote the checks and balances on abuse of power. That's all we want. It's worked well for 152 years. And also, ironically, the message that some people have about, we want to pack the court. Well, how is that working today? It seems like here recently in our Supreme Court, we've had 7-2 decisions, 8-1 decision, and in one case, a 9-0 decision involving basic fundamental constitutional rights. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's working well. Sometimes you're going to get a decision you don't like. Well, you don't need to retaliate in the short run by packing the court, because you're going to destroy the country in the long run.
Paul, that's a very good point. I wanted to hold that thought and pick up on it when we come back from a break. If you're just joining us, you are listening to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, here with Judge Paul Summers of the Coalition to Preserve the Independence of the Supreme Court. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Hi, Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center here. It's clear to all of us that we're living in confusing and challenging times, where law and culture are increasingly hostile to Christian values. So, how do you maintain your faith and convictions in such a climate? That's a question that we're helping to answer at our Christianity and Culture conferences. The goal is to help believers to understand the culture and how to respond in an effective and winsome way. And we'd love for you to join us. The first two conferences were well received, and we look forward to seeing you at our fall conferences in Bowling Green, Paducah, and in Somerset. To find out more about them, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. That's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. And we look forward to seeing you in the fall. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, here with Judge Paul Summers of the Coalition to Preserve the Independence of the Supreme Court. And if you've been paying attention to the news, you will have noticed that there is a push from the far left to pack the U.S. Supreme Court. And by packing, we're talking about expanding the number of justices. The primary intention is to push through liberal policies, to legitimize liberal policy positions when it comes to the federal government. And Paul, we were just talking about what happens when you expand the number. You're talking about politicizing a branch that has traditionally been insulated, for the most part, from politics. Of course, it is the president that appoints, that nominates the Supreme Court justices, and that nomination is confirmed by the U.S. Senate. But both parties have a chance at doing this. Barack Obama was in for 8 years before Donald Trump got elected, who served a four-year term. Now it is Joe Biden, who's beginning his four-year term. He's only a year into it, not even. But we've seen just in the last 12 years, we've got two Democratic presidents and one Republican president. So it goes back and forth as far as which political party will appoint those justices. I'm just wondering if the average American voter sees this, that there is balance, there is a way of going about filling the vacancies because we have political change in the presidency, but that way to bring balance or to have the appointments made is not through packing the court, but it's through the presidency and electing a new president. Are people seeing that? Do enough American voters see that there is a process?
I think American voters are surprised that there's not a constitutional amendment already or something in the Constitution setting it at 9. I'll have to admit there are many lawyers who don't realize that. I being one of them, I think I was an older lawyer when I finally realized there was no constitutional provision setting it at 9. We just all assume that it is. Now, is 9 a magic number? Probably not, but it's worked so well. I would also remind you that the late Justice Ruth Ginsburg made a statement back about 2 years before she died, a public statement. She says, 9 seems to be a good number. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was also echoed by current sitting Justice Stephen Breyer, who said the same thing. He said, 9 seems to be a good number. It works well. It works well. We want to prevent an escalation of court packing, because if one party does it, then sure enough, the next time the other party gets in office, they're going to do it, and we're going to wind up diluting the Supreme Court based on political ideology. We don't need that. We don't want that. We want three branches of government to be independent and equal, and the third branch, the judicial branch, to be checks and balances on abuse of power, which it's done pretty well.
So the proposed amendment says this: the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices. Now, in order for that to make it into law, into the U.S. Constitution, Article 5 of the Constitution says that Congress needs to pass that proposed amendment by a 2/3 majority vote in both the Senate and House. If it passes both bodies by that margin, then it is sent to the states for a ratification by a vote of their state legislatures, and 3/4 of the states need to ratify it before it makes it into the Constitution. It's a very difficult process. That's why there are only 27 amendments that have made it into the Constitution in our 245-year history. Paul, what are the chances of this passing? You've got an uphill battle. You've got a lot of educating, a lot of convincing, not just in Congress, but with state legislatures. Let's start with Congress. What kind of support do you have in Congress right now for this Keep Nine Amendment?
Well, we've got almost 200, mostly Republican, overwhelmingly Republican congressmen, both senators and representatives, who either support or sponsor and co-sponsoring the Keep Nine Amendment. Let me tell you, we've got basically five steps that we're working on. You're right. It's going to be a tough charge, but at the same time, remember that it took about 100 years. We just celebrated the passing of women's right to vote. You know, how long did we go before women even had the right to vote? We went a long, long time. How long did we go before we passed the 13th Amendment? It took a civil war to convince everybody to pass the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. So every journey starts off with its first step. But we started this coalition, the nonprofit coalition that I'm involved in. We started our message back about March of last year, about 15 months ago, 14, 15 months ago. Now, since that time, we have built up 1,000 elected officials around the nation. We built up 800 state legislators and almost 200 congressmen and women who support it. I think we've gained momentum. We are the strongest amendment regarding court reform in Washington, D.C. One more thing. Kentucky has stepped up to the plate. Four of your congressmen have endorsed the Keep Nine Amendment.
Okay.
Congressman Comer, Barr, okay. Guthrie, and Rogers, okay. And Secretary of State Michael Adams, and my dear friend, former Kentucky Attorney General Chris Gorman, has supported and supports the Keep Nine Amendment. We may have more coming our way. How many congressmen do you have in Kentucky, by the way?
We have six. And there's one congressman that I did not hear you mention who's very conservative, representing the northern Kentucky area, and that's Thomas Massie.
Here are our five steps. We want to unite Republicans. We want to unite Republicans. There are a lot of Republicans out there, but they have a lot on their plate, and we're sure as soon as they're educated about the Keep Nine Amendment, they'll join us. We then want to recruit Democrats. We can't pass it just if we got 100% of the Republicans, we still can't pass a constitutional amendment. We've got to have bipartisan support. We then want to educate opinion leaders. Fourth, we want to educate the public. And then fifthly, and very important, we want to make sure that the candidates for 2022 elections in November are asked those that dual question. Number one, are you against court packing? And if you are against court packing, number two, do you favor the Keep Nine Amendment? It's a twofold question. That's our five steps. We've done well in 15 months getting 200 congressmen supporting the Keep Nine Amendment.
Sounds like you're doing a good job. Now, do you have organizations in every state working to do this?
Yes, we do. I can't tell you the exact figures, and we're a grassroots operation. We're unpaid. We don't get any pay for this. And as I told you earlier off camera, I'm at that age and stage in my life where I get called on lots of times to be on boards and commissions and various entities, and some of them pay, some of them don't. But my litmus test these days in my life is it time well spent? And I spend a lot of time on this program. I spend a lot of time on the Keep Nine program because I think it's time well spent for America.
Judge Summers, you sound like a patriot. You sound like somebody who appreciates our form of government. And somebody who appreciates the independence of the judiciary and doesn't want to see it compromised in any way. What would you tell the average American out there what they can do to support this this coalition, the coalition to preserve the independence of the Supreme Court. What can the average person do?
Well, the first thing they can do is they can get a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper and write these addresses down. Our coalition is the Coalition to Preserve the Independence of the Supreme Court. Our email address is leaders, like L-E-A-D-E-R-S, at keep9.org, leaders at keep9.org. You can call us. You can also write to the Presidential Commission, which I wrote to them yesterday, as a matter of fact, asking to testify before the Presidential Commission on Supreme Court Reform. Mm-hmm. That address is info@pcscotus.gov, info@pcscotus.gov. And then most importantly, you can look up our website. It's keep9.org. It answers just about every question that you might want to have about the 13-word amendment. But so far as grassroots support, call your elected officials and say, hey, have you heard about the Keep 9 amendment? We want to make Keep 9 a household word, just like Coca-Cola.
Very good. Judge Summers, it's been great to have you on the program. I've learned a lot personally. I think our listeners and viewers have. And I do wish you well as you work to keep 9 on the U.S. Supreme Court. Maybe we can do this again. If there's more news or more information you'd like to share, let's do the program again. How about that?
Godspeed and happy July the 4th, 245 years of independence on Monday.
Amen. Happy Independence Day to you as well. God bless.
Thank you.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.